Good morning. Welcome to worship on this joyous morning. Our Advent word of the day is joy. We're glad to see each and everyone here, and greetings to the people who might be watching on Facebook. I am not aware of any special announcements that need to be made. Does anyone have any they'd like to lift up? I don't see any. Mark, are you ready with the Advent thing?
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are most favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be.
But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You will conceive. You will give birth to a son. You will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David and all the descendants of Jacob forevermore."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin."
The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will be over you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of the Most High God."
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation."
Today, we celebrate the joy Jesus brings. The kind of joy that doesn't depend on our circumstances being right or simple or easy. It's a joy that's bigger than that.
Our joy springs up in the middle of hard times and struggle and even grief. Like a fountain, it floods over our sadness and mingles with our tears.
It's a joy that says that we can bear difficulty because God is with us, and he will never leave us alone.
The joy of Christmas has nothing to do with gifts or parties or even friends and family. It has everything to do with Emmanuel. God is here.
We light the Advent candle because salvation has come. The promise is fulfilled. Jesus has changed the world forever.
And joyfully do our call to worship this morning. Lord, as we enter this third week of Advent, our hearts are filled with peace and hope. Our minds are filled with overwhelming joy of our salvation. May this joy be contagious to our neighbor as we live and move and breathe. Let us worship you for who you are and celebrate your goodness. Open your hymnals, page 201, please. Number 201.
Thank you. Speaking of angels, we have one among us in the form of a baby today, and we come with hearts full of joy and wonder as we celebrate God's gift of Stanley Frederick Cuck to this world. We marvel at the grace-filled act by which God gives such a precious gift. We celebrate the promise of God's future that Frederick represents. We declare ourselves open to the new responsibilities and relationship that Frederick's presence brings. This is a service of both dedication and commitment. Today, we dedicate Frederick before God. Before we ever saw him, God was at work creating and shaping this precious life. Before we ever called Frederick by name, God said, "This is my child." Thus, we joyfully affirm that Stanley is a child of God. This is a service of commitment for all of us, parents, family, friends, and the faith community. We commit ourselves to sharing with God in the nurturing and in the upbringing of Frederick. It is not a commitment that any of us should take lightly, but neither is it a burden we must carry alone. For as God is present with us in this time of celebration and joy, so God promises to be present with us in each day of the future as we seek to live out the commitments we're about to make as Ashley and Jake make their way forward with this precious angel, Frederick. Frederick, Stanley, Stanley, Frederick. Stan the man, that's all we got to remember. You know, it's going to be funny later in life when they start calling him Frederick. You're going to be like, Pastor Matt called it. Yeah. You're not going to let that happen, though, are you?
No.
It's going to be Stanley. Did you hear that? Affirm that. No, it's going to be Stanley. Wonderful. Okay. Are you ready? I don't know if I am. This morning, we celebrate the gift of new life among us coming in the presence of Stanley Frederick. Life we have waited for expectantly. Life we have watched growing month by month. Life we have welcomed in pain and joy. Life we see and hear and touch, and we do smell, don't we? We celebrate the gift of new life among us, coming to us as a gift from God. We give thanks for a baby born with fragile yet fully human features, reflecting our image and God's. We give thanks for the extension of family and community across the miles and across generations. We give thanks for the potential and opportunity this birth heralds, as well as for the challenge and commitment that it calls forth. We give thanks for the joy of this moment and the promise of God's continuing presence among us. I'm not going to try to hold him because he's doing so well. I'm just going to put my hand on his head here. Stanley, you are dedicated to God. And God's Spirit will always be with you. As you grow, may you come to recognize the presence and blessing of God in your life. May you be nurtured in your faith by the people surrounding you. And may you find a home within this faith community. Amen. Let us join together before God in publicly making our promises regarding Stanley's spiritual nurture in a litany of commitment. Jake and Ashley, would you repeat after me? We promise to offer Stanley a loving home where he may learn the importance of faithfulness to God through worship and service. We will teach him the way of Jesus through word and example. We will further encourage him toward a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And may God help you in keeping these promises. Congregation, would you repeat after me? We promise to share in Stanley's Christian nurture. By providing him a warm and welcoming faith community. In which he can grow in God's love. We will help with Christian education and spiritual guidance. He receives at home as we fulfill our special calling as the body of Christ, of which he is a part. We will be in prayer for Stanley and for you, Ashley and Jake, as we continue to support you as a family. Stanley, may God's presence be upon you, and may it be upon you as his parents as you journey through life together. He's dedicated to the Lord. Amen. It's a tremendous joy each week to be able to bring our joys and concerns to share with our church body. And we invite you now, as a microphone comes around, simply place your hand in the air and we'll be glad to lift up those joys or concerns you may have.
I'd like to just raise up concern for our friends in Nigeria. They're dealing with difficulty getting enough water, and they need to hand dig wells. They have areas where they can't drill. So just prayers for the ability to get the finances. It costs about $1,000 per well to hand dig a well.
Just like prayers for my mom, Christine Bayshore. She's in the hospital right now, had some emergency surgery this week, and she's got a long road to recovery. So keep her in your prayers. Thanks. And my dad also.
We'd ask you to keep Anna Mary in prayer. She did fall at the home yesterday, but they did a CAT scan. Everything is clear, so no damage, no broken bones. So praise God for his protection over Anna Mary.
Continued prayers. We've been praying the last couple of weeks for my stepfather, Nevin Walter. He had surgery Tuesday night to remove a blockage in his small bowel, and they did find that it is cancer. They're going to look and see if there's any cancer anywhere else. And if not, at 90 years old, they're not going to do anything more. And we're all good with that. But just prayers till we get that decision made.
Would you pray with me? Precious Lord, we thank you for this third week of Advent, in which we're reminded the joy that you bring through our salvation. And we take pause this morning out of the busyness and hustle and bustle of this season just to say thank you, to praise you, to adore you, to honor you for who you are and what you have done and accomplished in our lives, giving us each the opportunity to believe and to know you personally. And we thank you, Lord, for that knowledge, to be able to know whatever it is we may experience in this life, whether joys or whether concerns. We know that you are a God that has promised that all of this is fleeting. It's temporary. And one day as we enter our eternal rest, we'll be with you, no longer in pain, no longer suffering. And we thank you, Lord, for that knowledge this morning. We thank you for the joy of new life within ourselves as we accept you into our hearts, that new beginning that you give us, the old being gone and the new having come. And we thank you for the new life among us and just praise you and thank you for Ashley and Jake and for Stanley this morning and bless them continually, Lord, as they raise that precious child. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone gathered here this morning. You know our hearts. You know the joys upon them. You know the concerns that we have. And Lord, we just lay them at the foot of the cross. We lay them at the cradle where new birth has been given, where sins have been forgiven. And we thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness. But we pause, we take a moment to say that we're sorry, to confess our sins before you, a holy God, a righteous God, and thank you for the forgiveness that we receive as we confess them. Lord, each day we never take for granted that forgiveness that's been offered through the cross. We never take for granted that death has been conquered and the grave is empty. And though we celebrate your birth, we remember where that birth journeyed to and what that birth has meant for us. And we think of life among us. We think of those brothers and sisters in Nigeria that are struggling for water right now. And Lord, you know the supply that you have for them. You know where those funds will come to dig those wells. But Lord, we just pray for your provisions. We pray for your protection upon those precious brothers and sisters that we love so much. We thank you for our sister and brother Christine and Martin. And Lord, in this difficult time for Christine, we pray for relief of pain. We pray, Lord, that you would journey alongside her and Martin and just allow your loving arms to be wrapped around them as they go through this time of recovery. We pray, Lord, that your will would be done, and we thank you for Nevin's life, and we know the diagnosis of cancer, but Lord, we do recognize you as the master physician, and we know that just your simple touch, your simple word, that cancer could be gone. But Lord, we're trusting you in this time, and we know, Lord, Nevin's salvation at hand. And we just pray that you would be with the family, Lord, and give them comfort and peace in this very hour. We lift up the Bryant family who is in New York City today and just celebrating the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and ask you to protect them, to keep Daniel safe, Lord, from any germs, that he would not be infected with anything before his surgery upcoming. And to surround that family continually with your love and your grace and your mercy, and let them know how very near you are to them. We think of others on our prayer concerns and lift up Beverly and Carl and Vera and Joanne and Naomi and Sandy and Amanda and others that come to our minds at this very time. And Lord, we thank you for our sister church, Lancaster Church of the Brethren, and ask your blessings upon them and guide and lead and direct them in this moment as well, Lord. Thank you for gathering us here together, allowing us to worship you, to know you more, and to be able to take that great news, that news of joy and peace and hope to this world. We're here to meet with you, Lord, and we pray you would open our ears and our hearts to receive all that you have in store for us. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Comfort and joy.
Comfort and peace and
joy.
For our offertory thought, I have things running around in my brain this morning. I keep thinking of King David and how he said, "I will not give anything to the Lord that I have not that has no cost to me." He wanted to be sure that his giving required something of him. And then our theme of joy, I had to pick the cheerful giver, but I'm changing the word cheerful to joyful. So I hope I remember when I'm actually reading it. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a joyful giver. Now let's pray. Lord, we come to you with joy in our hearts. We pray that we would be giving to you joyfully. And in our hearts where there is no joy, we pray that you would come near and give us your love, and that your joy would abound in us. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. I'd like to invite the children to join me up front here. Good morning, everybody. Who here can tell me, I'm going to give you a clue about what we're going to talk about this morning. It's right behind me here on the wall. Who can tell me what that is? Oh, go ahead.
Joy.
Hey, all right. Not the dish detergent, not the nice lady down the street, but joy of a different kind. Now, who here knows what it's like to be happy? Just raise your hands. That's fine. And who knows what it's like to be sad? You can raise your hands. You ever notice something about being happy and sad? They can go and come all the time. You can be happy one second and sad the next, but they're always changing. So I always thought to myself, what is joy? It's an everlasting thing, but how is that? Well, for me, one thing that comes to mind about joy is something that I was taught by my better half. She had a little saying on her desk. So what do you think the J in joy stands for? I like that answer. That's a really good one. How about the O? Can anybody take a guess what the O stands for? Go ahead.
Hope.
Oh, you're getting warmer. It's hope is a nice word. It's actually going to be others. Now, Jesus, others. Now, what do you think the Y stands for? Good job, you. I always like that. It's called an acronym. That's a big word, I know, so I won't bore you with the details. You'll learn about that when you get older. So this morning, I brought along a little something here. That's a bit of a seasonal thing. How about that? Who knows what that is? Ah, good answer. I like that. Now, when I hold it like this, what does it make you think of? Well, a heart or a shepherd's hook. Yes. But what if I turn it around and I do this? How about now? J. We just talked about that, didn't we? J starts the word joy and Jesus. Yeah. All right. Well, the candy cane is a longtime Christmas tradition. Everywhere we look, it seems to be. They're there. Sometimes we hang them on the trees, or sometimes they're a nice little snack. Usually peppermint flavored, but I guess they come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and flavors anymore. I've kind of lost track myself. But they are used in so many different decorations. And I've heard several stories about the history and the meaning of the candy cane. First of all, you look at this, and we saw the letter J. Did you ever look at the colors on the candy cane? Now, I realize we talked about this briefly before, but there is white on there. That is correct. Yeah, and there's also red on there. And did you ever notice the stripes are different different sizes and even different shades? Well, there's a little bit of meaning behind that, somewhat even biblical. The candy cane has three red stripes. The Bible tells us that before he was crucified, Jesus was beaten with a whip, which made blood red stripes across his body. The Bible also says that we are healed by those stripes. The stripes in the candy cane should remind us that Jesus suffered and died so that we can have everlasting life. And I don't know about you, but that sure gives me joy. Yeah. Too many people, the candy cane is meaningless decoration seen at Christmas, or just a piece of candy to be eaten and enjoyed. I hope that this year, every time that you see a candy cane, you will be reminded about the true meaning of Christmas. Can we say a little prayer? All right, we're going to say, Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd who keeps us from harm. We thank you that because of his suffering and death on the cross, that we do have everlasting life. Help us to remember that we find the true meaning of Christmas in him. Now, boys and girls, this morning, oh, amen. Now, boys and girls, this morning, I have a candy cane for each one of you, but I ask that you please keep them closed and go back to your folks or your grown-ups and ask before you eat them. I know it's getting a little close to dinner time, and I don't want to spoil any appetites or be liable for that. So come on up here, and I got one for each one of you. Here you go. And one at a time. Don't worry, there's plenty to go around.
Okay, all right. Okay, everybody got one so far? Here we go. All right. You want? Go ahead. Possibly, maybe. All right.
To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy. Flowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul and never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go.
I think that's my favorite part of the Christmas season, all the songs, the choir, the special music, the children's program. I don't think I even need to preach, so thanks for coming today. No, you want to hear a sermon? Okay. So at some point in our lives, we've all experienced it. The day we were born, God planted it in our hearts. And over the years, it grew, it got deeper, it got wider, and it started to spread to others. We realized it was something that we could no longer contain. Others needed to know it. Others needed to feel it and to keep it going. And at this time of year, it came in the form of a baby in a manger. A difference maker, a history maker, a world changer. We've seen it before, but never like this. It's come through events in our lives like our wedding day, our firstborn child, that moment when you could drive, or many other firsts, like a soccer goal or a date to the senior prom, an award, a high esteem in a job. We've felt it when we shot our first buck or saw it in the look in our child's eyes. There's something about this word, and we go on our entire lives searching for it. But God says to us this morning that it is already there, and it's always going to be there. And something or someone can never change that. It's unending, it's everlasting. It's not a moment kind of joy. It's inexpressible, even incomprehensible, but it's always within our reach. That baby Jesus continues to pour out that joy, and we have the opportunity to be filled with it. And it's been confirmed. It's been defined. Even in his book, Science Speaks, Peter Stoner applies the modern science of probability to just 8 prophecies regarding Christ. He says the chance that any man might have fulfilled 8 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th. Friends, that is 1 in 100 quadrillion. Stoner suggests that we take 10 to the 17th silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover the entire state 2 feet deep. If you mark 1 silver dollar and you stir them thoroughly, and then let's blindfold David and tell him to travel as far as he wishes across the state of Texas, but you must pick up that 1 marked silver dollar. What chance does he really have of finding the right one? Stoner concludes the exact same chance that the prophets would have had of writing those 8 prophecies and having them all come true in one man. Friends, that is the joy that we have in the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, our prophet, our priest, and our king. If you've lost that joy over the years, just listen to some of these prophecies that have been fulfilled. And as I say each one, I'd like you to say, check. So God promised that the Savior would be human. He promised that the Savior would be Jewish. He promised that the Savior would be from the tribe of Judah. He would be born of a virgin. God also promised that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem. Check. So as we continue to look at the message of Christmas, we're reminded how awesome, how amazing, how totally incredible Christmas truly is, and how crazy in love our God is with each of you. So this morning, I want us to look at that first announcement of Christ's birth. We've already seen the video where Mary has been told by an angel that she would become pregnant with a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. And now we are fast forwarding to the joy that the shepherds discovered in the routine. So I invite you, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. And will you repeat these verses with me and allow them to soak into your heart and that great joy to fill you this morning? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ and the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God, we thank you that your word is good, that your word is great, that your word is true. And we thank you, Lord, that it can bring us great joy in this life, and it can lead us on to share and spread it with others. So friends, first and foremost, let us recognize that the routine was disrupted. As we heard, the men that were out in the fields of Bethlehem that night were called shepherds. They were herdsmen of sheep, if you will, but they weren't necessarily the owners of these sheep. More often than not, this was considered a rather lowly occupation in Israel. So the point that Luke is making is that you don't have to be prestigious, you don't have to be powerful, you don't have to be well known to see Jesus. In fact, those in power completely missed his birth. You see, Jesus came to be with the humble. He came to be with the outcast and the ones who were considered the low end of the social ladder. When we really think about it, he came to be with those society deemed not really deserving of his presence. So notice that the shepherds were out with the flocks at night. Luke makes this an important detail. Have you ever been in a nighttime where you can put your hand in front of your face and not see it? I'm imagining that's the darkness that these shepherds were experiencing. But this detail is almost like there's a time reference to which Jesus was born. You see, allowing the flocks out in the fields overnight would have been an event in the late spring or early summer. So let's travel with these shepherds into the fields outside of Bethlehem and watch their flocks with them. Remember, it's a dark night, and these watchmen have now found good pasture outside the city limits. We're about to notice the shepherds performing two very important tasks for these sheep. Having found these good pastures, they're providing for their needs. Secondly, they are about to guard them, against predators and thieves through this night. Remember that they dare not sleep or even momentarily doze off, or these sheep become meat. So here we are, dark of the night, watching over these sheep. And they're grazing, they're eating, getting their fill. When suddenly, out of nowhere, there's this message about to be delivered. And the angel comes and does what he's supposed to do and delivers it. Angel means messenger. So throughout Luke's account of the birth narrative, he uses this phrase, angel of the Lord, to describe the messenger sent by God. It makes sense that this may be the same angel who appeared to Zechariah and to Mary earlier. So we could conclude this most likely is Gabriel. This angel appears with the glory of the Lord, the radiance of God's holy presence. Had we been there, we are seeing the most dramatic display of blinding light. No firework display could ever compare. And friends, it's even more dramatic by the darkness of night. But you may wonder, why the glory shining all around this angel? And it's simply to give credit to the message that is about to come. Now notice here the angel does three things. First, he rids fear. Like the shepherds, we perhaps would have been terrified by the presence of this angel. I mean, can we really blame them? This would have been one of the most dramatic events of their lives. And remember, it is taking them by complete surprise. So notice what the angel tells them first. Do not be afraid. Friends, there was no reason for them to fear. Secondly, he delivers the good news. The angel goes on to tell them that they are about to receive good news of great joy. Then the angel drops the newsflash of all time, saying there had been an amazing birth in Bethlehem that night, a birth that would indeed change the world forever. Listen again to what the angel says about the child who was born. He is the Savior, the one who would bring deliverance or rescue from certain death. He says the child is the Christ, the promised Messiah that Israel had been waiting for so long to arrive, and that this child is the Lord. The child born, not some ordinary child, but given the equal title of God. Friends, this baby was God in the flesh. He was the Savior of the world, who is the awaited Messiah and the embodiment of God. I don't know about you, but I can't begin to comprehend this amazing and completely accurate picture of who Jesus really is. And then finally, the angel directs these shepherds. It's as if the angel draws them a map to find the baby Jesus. Listen to these directions. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths. Now, okay, this isn't all that dramatic. Most mothers would have used some form of cloths to wrap their babies after birth. But the second part is very directive. The baby will be lying in a manger. In other words, the shepherds won't need to look house to house to find the baby. A manger, we know, is nothing more than a feeding trough. They simply needed to start looking in the stables. So after this, the angel is joined by a host of other angels who give praise to God. And this rejoicing was displayed before their very eyes. The angels, Then return to heaven, and the search immediately begins for this great joy. They leave everything. That means they abandon the sheep, and they make their way to Bethlehem. They search until they find Mary and the baby Jesus. But they didn't stop there. They didn't look at the baby and go, "Oh, it's so cute." No, they went out and they shared the good news with others and friends. It's exactly what we're supposed to do. When we find joy, it's contagious. We long to share it. So Mary seems to be quite absorbed with the shepherd encounter. Notice what Luke says about her. She treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary, like us, may not have understood everything that was happening around her, but she did know one key fact. This baby, Jesus, was born to her, a virgin. The visit of the shepherds was just one more confirmation to Mary that Jesus was going to be special beyond compare. You see, these shepherds, like us, have been changed forever. I don't know if you can remember that day that you met Jesus, where you were, but can you remember that change? Can you identify that change still in your lives today? Can you feel that same great joy? It's something that should always be seen and be heard. Now remember, shepherds were not exactly the most educated people. They weren't expected to have any type of special knowledge. Yet this message they were sharing was life-changing. As a matter of fact, we could call it revolutionary. They were speaking from their heart and communicating what they had seen and what they had heard. But even people that were amazed didn't necessarily take that news to others. So what difference does it all make? Could it be that God wants to disrupt our routine? Remember, this day would have been business as usual for these shepherds. Nothing would have been any different for them. They were doing what they always did. So I invite you to reflect on an ordinary routine day. Many of us get up, we get ready, we speed off to work, and we do what we normally do. We come home, we enter into another routine, we eat dinner, help the kids as best as we can with homework, and we get ready for bed. Now, in the midst of our routine, God may not send angels with a world-changing message, but God does long to speak to us on a daily basis. And reports tell us those spending at least 4 days a week in His Word will find life change. But friends, as we've been saying all along this Advent season, we need to slow down. We need to be willing to listen. The reality of this is this: God wants to be part of your routine. The question for us is, are you willing to let Him? He longs for you to know His Son deeper each day in new ways. You see, that's the reason He sent His Son as a baby in a manger, that we could know Him. And I pray that this joy would be evident in our lives, and that this joy would be so overwhelming that you couldn't contain it, that it has to burst forth into this world. Would you pray with me? Lord, we know the fears that we have. We know that society can often look at us as Christians, as followers of Christ, and they put a microscope over top of us, and they examine us, and they make determinations. But this Christmas, may we be so filled with great joy that others will long to know what it is that we have. And we ask, Lord, You would give us the boldness. You would give us the courage to share that good news, for we know there are still many that have not come to know You. So we pray, Lord, your peace and your hope upon our lives. And we pray this unspeakable joy to be speakable to others. And we thank you, Lord, that this season doesn't end on Christmas. It continues throughout the year. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Go tell it on the mountain.
Let's not stay here any longer. Let's go!